Happy Mother's Day to all of our mothers. Could all of our mothers stand up? If you are a mother, God has given you that assignment. Would you please stand up? Would you please stand up? Help me celebrate our mothers who are here in worship. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much. For we know that that indeed is one of the things we all have in common. Maybe you're going to get that a little later. That God has blessed us all to come by way of mothers. I thank God, and I'm very grateful to God, because, Anthony, God is good. Let me talk to some folk who are awake this morning. Really, just consider for a moment just how good God has been to you when you hear me say, God is good. And he's good to all of us. And on this day that he blessed us with, on this Mother's Day, I pray will that God will challenge us in such a way that we will learn to celebrate his goodness. Not just in our private lives, but celebrate his goodness in such a way that we would tell others about it. As you prayerfully consider who God is directing you as the person you are to reach for him. As we continue the series, Who is Your One? Pastor George, thank you so much for your service. And as I was on mission in Kenya, from Panama then to Kenya, thank you so much for your service and your continued service at the body of Christ. Pastor George is very versatile, because not only can he preach, not only can he lead, but he can also sing. And so I don't know what else you got under there, but thank you so much, Pastor George. Thank you so much. Our message for the morning will begin, at least, in the book of Acts. And you can turn your way there in the 16th chapter of Acts, is where our message for the morning is coming from. But as you turn there, I was thinking of Mother's Day, Sister Lillian, and I remember a song that would often come on the radio. My mother, who raised me for the most part on her own, would always have a certain radio station on in our home that would play every morning throughout my memory as a child and a teenager. And one such song, and you may not know this, but one such song was sung by Shirley Caesar. From some of you, sound like some of you know that name. And I remembered it, but I didn't remember all the lyrics to the song. But Shirley Caesar often would have a narration before every song to kind of gear your thinking to understand, what the song was all about. And this particular song, her narration goes, "My sister's little boy came in the kitchen one evening while she was fixing supper, and he handed her a piece of paper. He had been writing on it, and after wiping her hands on her apron, she took it in her hands and read it, and this is what it said: for mowing the yard, $5, and for making up my own bed this week, $1, for going to the store, 50 cents, and for playing with my little brother while you went shopping, 25 cents, for taking out the trash, $1, and for getting a good report on my report card, $5. And for raking the yard, $2. Total owed, $14.75. Well, she looked at him standing there expecting, and thousands of memories went through this mother's mind as he was waiting. And so then she took the paper, turned it over, and this is what she wrote: "For the 9 months I carried you, holding you inside me, no charge. For the time and the tears and the cost throughout the years, there is no charge. When you add it all up, the full cost of my love is no charge." She wasn't done there. She kept on writing: "For nights filled with gray and worry ahead, and for the advice and the knowledge, the cost of your college, no charge. for the toys, the schools, the clothes, and for wiping your filthy, nasty nose. Emphasis. No charge. Because when you add it all up, the full cost of my love is no charge. Then she bridges it in her song. She says, well, you know, when I think about the day that Jesus went to Calvary and gave his love as a ransom for me and for you, when I think about the words, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation, I like to think about it that very minute that he shed his blood. My debt was paid in full, and I want you to know today, when you add it all up, the full cost of real love is, I want to make sure you're paying attention here, is no charge. It resonates with me because in it I hear how God chooses relationships to help us fully understand his ultimate love for each of us. Sometimes you see it clearly in a mother's love. When a godly mother takes on the assignment given by God to nurture and guide a life, we can learn that there are lessons that shows us how to make a difference. In fact, as we continue the series on Who's Your One, I want us to lift some lessons for consideration that comes from a mother by the name of Eunice. Now, Luke, in his writing in Acts, does not provide us her name, but we'll see in 2 Timothy, the first chapter, her name is Eunice. She is the mother of young Timothy, and she is known in Acts as a believer. Because what I submit is that believers makes a difference. And this mother makes a difference. So let's look at mothers who made a difference. If you have your Bibles open, in the sixth chapter of Acts, the text begins with the Apostle Paul. It says the Apostle Paul came also to Derbe and to Lystra. A disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman, the woman by the name of Eunice, who was a believer. But his father was a Greek. And he, being Timothy, was well spoken of by the brothers of Lystra and Iconium. It opens up, this text does, identifying a mother that could be our model to follow. You don't see her name, but you do see something distinct about her character. Something that is probably of greater description than her name Eunice. You see that she is a believer. She's a believer. Mothers make a difference when mothers are believers. There, the 16th chapter of Acts, the first chapter. The 16th chapter, the first verse. Here is a mother who is, as some theologians believe, this mother has no support. Some expostulate that she as a mother, if you notice the text, it says she is a believer, right? A Jewish woman who is a believer in Christ as the Lord. But it says, but his father was a Greek. You don't really understand the context. Let me help you understand this. His father was one who subscribed to Greek idolatry. His father was one who did not believe in the living God. So get this tension. Young Timothy is growing up in a context where his mother believes in God, but his father was idolatrous. He believed in Zeus and Hermes and all of the many gods of Grecian culture. And in this context, Timothy is being reared. Don't understand. Now, not only that, but he's living in Lystra. Lystra was under Roman occupation, true, but Lystra was an idolatrous city. So idolatrous, so cruel and vindictive that in Lystra, when Apostle Paul was running for his life, it was in Lystra where believers came into this city. Non-believers of the Jewish faith came into the city, and they convinced the citizens of Lystra to stone the Apostle Paul, and there in Lystra, they were stoning him. Get this. The community that Timothy was growing up in, reared by his mother, who was a believer, was such a community that it was so corrupt that you can, in a moment's notice, convince people to kill someone for sharing good news. Which grabbed my attention. Because how is it that Timothy was able to overcome this trajectory into idolatry with a community that was against the good news of Christ, a father who was not a believer in Christ? How is it that this young man was able, as the text says, to be a disciple of Christ in the two neighboring cities? How is it? Come here, can I tell you? Because his mother chose him as her one. Maybe I didn't say that clear enough. His mother saw his potential. His mother saw him, and she realized, as a mother, as all of us as believers, we have a position that is given by God. And when we accept the position that is given us by God, when we understand that we're positioned in others' lives for godly purposes, we too can make a difference. God has us on assignment. How is it? Well, in Jewish culture, a child generally took on the religion of the mother. But you know, as I know, that you can grow up in a certain context and household and not necessarily assume that belief. And yet, Timothy was so influenced by his mother that it was demonstrated in his character. I celebrate that, because as we consider the assignment that God has for all of us, I mean, God has a godly assignment for all of us, that others might see him through us. I'm so convinced of God's sovereignty and providential nature that I believe that God even assigns where you sat this morning. I know you think you picked it out because some of you, not Will. Will, good Baptist, sit in the same place at the same time so I can find you on a Sunday, but I still see you. No. I believe that God always has us on assignment. And with that assignment, there's always a purpose in our lives. And when we understand that, we can make a difference in the lives of others. If you're taking notes, why don't you write this down? We're positioned in others' lives for godly purposes. We are positioned in others' lives for godly purposes. You got to see this. Eunice, in this context, she's raising Timothy. And I submit to you that she saw something in Timothy that even Timothy probably didn't see in himself. Because Timothy, by virtue of his name, means one who honors God. And I believe that this mother was so intentional, so determined to make her son a disciple, that she would not let him live beneath his potential. Come here, I'm trying to help you understand something. Not just to mothers, not just celebrating mothers, but to all of us who've been touched by grace. When God assigns someone to your charge, part of your responsibility is to have the determination to help them not live beneath the calling, beneath the potential that God has given them. I don't know about you, but I'm grateful that God gave me parents who did not allow me to succumb to a nature that was beneath me, that did not allow me to settle for just a second best. I mean, you don't understand my pain. I know you don't. You don't understand my pain because a B in my house, and it wasn't even my house, it was her house. But yeah, in my house too, I guess that carries over. But a B was a bad grade. just trying to help you understand where I come from. And every report card, I remember, I would hear it. You're able. You're better. You're better than this. Not to say that those of us who make B's and C's and other grades are not good. I'm just using an example to understand that there was a certain expectation in the house that I grew up in. Expectations there was no question of whether or not you're going to graduate high school. I'm talking about the model of a good mother. That it wasn't even a contemplation of whether or not we were going to go to college. There were certain expectations. I'll give you this one. Everybody knew what we were doing on Sunday. I'm just saying, expectations. We're not permitted to live beneath or to operate or act beneath our ability. I believe Eunice, when she saw her son and she named him Timothy, Timothy means one who honors God, was so determined that she wouldn't let him live beneath the calling that was on his life. I saw this for as many of you know, and I want to thank you for praying for us as we were journeying to Kenya, and by God's grace, we made it back from Kenya. It took us about 39.7 hours to make it back, and by God's grace, part of me, made it back. Yesterday afternoon, evening, somewhere around that time. I said part of me, but I thank you so much for praying. But God has done some amazing things in Kenya while we were there. For in Kenya, we came across, there's one of the ministries that we support, and all your givings and your support for missions, it supports this kind of work in Kenya called Destiny Designs. And Destiny Designs is a ministry that is given for families and siblings of special needs. Because in Kenya, special needs is misunderstood. Special needs children are misunderstood and is seen as something to be discarded. And yet this mother, her name is Tammy, she was birthed to her a son of special needs. I said to Tammy, her name is Tracy, and Tracy's son, who was born of special needs at 24 weeks of age, she was American, but she felt a call to go to Africa, and when she went there and her son was born there, she understood the culture demonized his condition. In fact, doctors had a prognosis that this mother should abort and should discard because her son was destined to be disabled, to be the one who would struggle through life. I don't know if you have, if you're able to pull the video up, Ricky, if you're able to pull the video, but I want to show you what I discovered. And it may be difficult for you, but I'll translate for you what's happening here. But I want you to see what we saw when a mother was willing to not give up on her son, understanding that she had a position in his life for God to use him. I'm not a professional videographer.
Wherever you go, God is with you. Amen.
I don't know if you understand this. Doctor said he wasn't going to be anything. The mother sees him, and she says that he's going to be something. Get this. And now you see him at 22 years of age leading a church of special need congregation because his mother wouldn't give up on him. And what you heard him say was, everywhere you go, God is with you. I would submit to you, and on that testimony, not only is God with you, but God has assigned you to help others know that he is the living God. And so he uses Eunice in Timothy's life, and he challenges all of us to consider what God has you on assignment as you pray for your one. That he has a purpose for that assignment. But secondly, if you just journey over in Paul's writing to young Timothy, Paul writes something to young Timothy that many of you may be familiar with in 2 Timothy chapter 1. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, the Apostle Paul writes to Timothy, verse 4, as I remember your tears, I long to see you that I may fill you with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelled first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. Don't miss this, you all. But when we understand that we are positioned by God to help others, and we're positioned by God with a godly purpose that others may know of him, that God will use us when we determine to develop others to be disciples. That get this, we are not born disciples. We are not born with a knowledge of God. In fact, everything we learn when we were born, somebody had to teach us. Oh, come on now. Think back with me. You remember, right? You remember. You may not remember when it happened to you, but you do remember, right? That when that young baby was born, when it came to your mind that child should be walking, you began to encourage them to walk. Okay, some of y'all don't remember that. Well, if you walked in here, somebody encouraged you to walk. No matter how long it took, you they were encouraged. They were stood up, and every time they fell down, it wasn't held against them. They were stood right. They were stood right back up to wobble and encouraged to go on. Hear me well. The same thing happens in our discipling of others. That no one is going to get it automatically. No one is just going to know God. No, we have to have intentionality behind it. That somebody invests in us so that we might know God for ourselves. Has someone invested in you? Has someone told you about God's goodness? Yeah. We must have the determination to develop disciples. I remember how determined my mother was. I told you that for the most part, my mother raised me as a single parent. My mother being a Christian, my father being a Muslim, my mother raised me outside. She took me to herself and raised me as a single parent. And in raising me, she saw something in me that at the age that she saw it, truly, I wish she didn't see it. No, I got to be honest with you. I did. She was determined to develop something in me that I would have preferred she not be so determined. So there I was in second grade, and she told me. I didn't say she asked, huh? I didn't say that. No. There wasn't a democracy in the house I grew up in. No. And even now and then when I see her, I'm still working through that. But she told me that I was going to give the second grade speech. Okay, you're missing this. I jumped too fast. Because really, Kevin, it didn't start in second grade. It really started in Head Start. Yeah, in Head Start. Because in Head Start, she told me that I was going to give a speech. She told me that I could do it, and Mama didn't believe in paper. So she said, I could do it, I had to learn it, and stand up before all those people who looked at me the same way you're looking at me right now. They weren't smiling, they weren't laughing. And I stood there at kindergarten, Keandre, and till this day, I still remember my speech. Till this day, I don't know how many years that is, but this day, tell it. Who said, you want me to tell my speech? Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are. Up above the world, so high like a diamond in the sky. Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are. I understand, and I want you to understand the power of your impact. That God is calling us to look into the lives of others and see their potential. See their potential of knowing his grace. See their potential of experiencing his love. See the potential of them being saved. See the potential of God using you to help them discover something that they didn't even know. I had a mother who did that for me. You have others who've done that for you. Could have been a mother, a grandmother. And Timothy's life, as you hear from the Apostle Paul, he said that there was a continuity that was flowing between his mother, his grandmother, and his mother, and now him. He said there was a sincere faith that was in them. a sincere faith that was in young Timothy. But don't miss it. Don't miss the continuity here. Because when we're determined to make others into disciples, we then can close the gaps for greater continuity of faith. That when we make up in our minds that God has us on assignment and we are supposed to pour into others that we are in relationship with, then there's something that God does in that relationship exchange that allow for a continuity. Let me get you to help me for a moment. We need to illustrate this for a moment because you see the flow, right? He says it was in your grandmother. Sincere faith was in your grandmother. We don't know if it's paternal grandmother or his maternal grandmother, but we know that the grandmother was a grandmother of faith. He says, and then there was a continuity that flowed from your grandmother to your mother, Eunice. He says, and I'm convinced, Paul says, it's in you. How can we accomplish that? How can we make a difference like these mothers did in the text? How can we make a difference like Lois and Eunice? Well, I would tell you that it would require us to take time to develop true relationships. I'm not talking about that fly-by-night kind of thing. I'm saying we have to be willing to invest time in relationships. But not only that as we invest time, we also have to be willing to provide affirmation for the gifts that God has placed within others. You really see Paul doing this because Paul starts his writing to young Timothy in this second epistle, and he says, I know their sincere faith in you. And then he says, the reason I know their sincere faith in you is because it was first in your grandmother and in your mother. But notice the affirmation. He tells him what's in him. No, we are conditioned to notice everything that's wrong. Don't look at me like that. If my tie was crooked, you notice it. In fact, you won't say it, but when I came up here, y'all noticed something was wrong. At least some of you. Where my jacket was all the way up here, and the mic pack was here, and I'm talking to y'all, and I'm trying to figure out why everybody's looking at me. And I had to very professionally try to adjust my jacket while I was speaking to you. Because we're conditioned to notice what's wrong. God is speaking to you. Listen. But God is calling us to have appreciation for what is right in the lives that he assigned to us. That involves us closing the gaps. Closing the gaps in relationships so there can be a continuity of faith. Wait a minute, Pastor. What if I don't know them? You still can relate to them. What if they don't come from where I come from? You still can relate to them. What if that's not my children? And you know, today and day that you touch somebody else's child, you know what's going to happen. You still can relate to them. How? Because anybody you see, you ought to first see that person is someone who's created in the image of God. Someone who's created in the image of God. And this is where we begin our relationship, for we are created in the image of God, which gives them an inherent value, which should compel us not only to want to spend time with them and not only to appreciate them, but to speak into their lives that they too would know a living God. So I need your help. I need your help as we journey to a close in this Mother's Day message. I need your help. We have to be willing to take the step to close the gap. So, as an object lesson, if there is a gap between you and someone else that you're seated next to, why don't you show me what it takes to close the gap? You're looking around. Let me help you understand that. If you are not next to someone, I want you to show me how to close the gap. No, you ain't closing it good enough. I'm trying to see what it takes for us to close the gap. You still don't get it, huh? Let's see here. If you are physically able, you have to make sure that you are side by side with someone. Unless you're on the end of a row, you ought to be side by side with someone. That means somebody's on your right side and somebody's on your left side. Let me help you understand this. That if there is, I got some guests here like, oh, this kind of church, I'm uncomfortable with this. I mean, I don't even know these people. But I want to help you close the gap. Show me what it takes to close the gap in relationships. That you are side by side with someone else. Are you getting it? Are you getting it? Are you getting it? When you close the gap, notice what it took. It took intentionality. It took you being observant. And one day I'm going to get all y'all to come in the middle. But I don't have that much time because y'all got to get to the restaurants and celebrate moms. But notice the intentionality that it took for us to close the gaps. Listen, we make a difference. We understand that God has us on assignment. When we're willing to go and do in obedience to God what he's calling us to do. For some of us, even on Mother's Day and in relationships, it calls us to see the gifts that are in others. But not only to see the gifts that are in others, it also calls us to be willing to forgive others. Let me just park here just for a moment. Because we can't say we love God, and yet we still hold unforgiveness in our hearts for others. Sometimes it's even unforgiveness because our parents weren't perfect. But none of us are. None of us are. And if we're going to close the gaps, we got to get rid of the obstacles that are in our way so that we can be used as instruments of God to help others know him. It takes us making the first move to getting from where we are to the person we know God has assigned in our lives. If it's a brother, if it's your sister, if it's a crazy aunt or an ugly uncle. Yeah, you got crazy cousins and derelict daughters and sassy sisters. I have three of them. I'm just Why did God put you in that family? Why did God assign you to that marriage? Why did God assign you in that community? So that he could use you as he shows you you're one to be willing to take the first step. Why is that important? Because we're Christians, we're believers, and God took the first step to close the gap so that we might be in a love relationship with God. Christ took the first step and he went to Calvary's cross that we might be forgiven of our sins. So who are we to hold sin against someone else? That's my challenge for you. Whatever it is and whatever that relationship is, be willing to close the gaps. To forgive the hurts, celebrate that God put you in a relationship and he can use you to help someone else know of his love.
Thanks so much for joining us today. We pray that the truth of God's word is both encouraging and uplifting to you. If you'd like more information about our church, service times, or locations, or if you have a question about what you heard today and you want to connect with someone, I want to encourage you to visit us on our website at championforest.org. Have a great day, and God bless.